Oh, it's Valentine's Day. Every man's curse. This is worse than Halloween. All right. So, welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, who ladies will hate at the end of this broadcast. This is for Valentine's Day, the 14th of February, 2021. And my male students right now are giggling and laughing and having a great time with this right now. They probably know what I'm going to be talking about. And I collect information. I also collect different kinds of questions, and I have gathered these questions from months and months, knowing that, you know, it was going to happen eventually, you know, this thing called Valentine's Day. So here we go into it. This is just incredible. What we do to destroy everything that is important in this lifetime, in this world. We just love doing it. We make celebrations out of it. If it isn't Jesus' birth and all the crazy things we like to do around Christmas, tearing away at his life and what the meaning of it really was and what he was trying to offer humankind by making Christmas trees and Santa Clauses and all that other stuff, trivializing it to the degree that we absolutely destroy it. We turn around at his crucifixion and call it a Good Friday, and then have, again, food and Easter bunnies and things, and we have that going on. There is no end to our ability to take away the significance, to remove it, to deteriorate the meaning of any very important event in the spiritual world, as it were. And then we have this little holocaust, this thing called Valentine's Day, where we celebrate or make up the idea that romance and perfect love exist as the adoration of a woman. And really, when you look at it, what are we adorizing but our DNA? And talking about sex, let's just be blunt about it. It's about, to the guy, it's about having sex with her. It's about sex for survival. So we have all of these anomalies and things that we like to build up and make more than what is. And we live this way in our entire life. We miss the significance for the sake of gratification. And that's what it's all about for us. Gratifying, gratifying, gratifying. So here we go into this Valentine's Day. You know, every server that I have ever known, there are two celebrations that every server I have ever known in this town where I live, in Carmel, California, they all say the same thing. The two worst holidays are Valentine's Day and Mother's Day. I wonder why. I wonder why. As the Buddha said, women work iniquity, which means they constantly need to be reassured, constantly, and they will do terrible, heinous things. Women are, what do I want to say? They work iniquity, as the Buddha said. I'm just going to say that. It's unfair. It's unkind. This is what they do. It is in their nature. I know you're hating me. I get it. You think I'm a woman hater? I'm not. You think I'm gay? I'm not. So let's just get into the questions and maybe we can find some order of significance here. The first question comes from Hannah in San Diego. Can you seem to be against relationships? You seem to be against women. Why? Hannah. I'm not against anything. I'm a revealer. I am a teacher of consequence. I am not here to make your life conventional. I'm here to take you into a possibility of something that is beyond the conventions of your body and your mind. The body is starving to death for adoration. The body, with its body memory and the emotions that it carries with it, are starving to death all the time, can never be satisfied, can never be fulfilled for too long. It just can't happen. And for those who are deeply emotional, and men are as well, they're emotional. Believe me, they are, especially about their male prowess and their sexuality. But women use their sexuality in a different way than men do. And it isn't worse. It isn't better. It just is what it is. You have to, Hana, you have to read books. You have to educate yourself. Behave by Robert Sapolsky is a very important book to read. It's difficult. Believe me, it is. I've read it over 10 times in notes and everything in it. It's powerful. Then you need to read Homo Deus, Sapiens. You need to read books that are scientific, that inform you of our history. You need to understand the reproductive process. And if you watch animals do it, how they strut, how they fight for their female to have the chance to reproduce, the whole thing. I don't even know how to say this to you, but we are a very primitive people that have never grown up. We've never grown past our primitive behaviors and instincts. And our instincts come first, and then our behaviors follow. And then before you know it, it's all about the mating dance. When we're young, all of those chemicals, testosterone and all of the estrogen going on, the serotonins, the dopamines, the oxytones that live inside the back of our brain, it's all there. And it forces a person to do the natural thing, which is to find a mate and then to propagate. That should be a poem. Find a mate to propagate. Anyway, that's what it's all about. It's an animalistic thing. And people will say to me, to you, Hana, this is what life is all about. This is what we're supposed to be doing, to the point of billions of people on the planet that we can't support, that we can't take care of. Children dying of starvation because we were just following what we're supposed to be doing. In the West, you look at kids, you see how they bumble and stumble through their life. You understand what's really going on here. I work with children, and I'm telling you, there are many who are starving to death. They're hungry, and this sends a message to their brains, and then they start recapitulating this in their life, yada, yada, yada. I'm not against women. Not at all. It isn't about a man-woman issue in the sense of them and us. It's about our instinct. You and I have to discipline our instincts. And we have to stop thinking that this is all about making a family and circling the wagons and fighting off life from the family point of view, which is based in bias, prejudice, and huge amounts of ignorance. So when you look at it from the point of view, we are just roaming animals. Look at us. We eat critters to survive. We eat critters. In certain countries, eating a dog is normal. It's right. Here, we would never think of doing something that stupid. But in other lands, it's totally normal. Think of the idea, you go to the grocery store, and there in the in the freezer as you look at it are the red meat things, the things we've killed, the animals that probably wanted the same thing you did, which was to have a family, to the instinct of reproduction, yada, yada, yada. And I just think of a mother cow giving birth to a baby. I've seen this in my life. In high school, I took an ag class and I learned a lot. They're looking at their family the same way you're looking at yours. This is their baby, their calf. So they take the calf, they put it in a cage, and they keep it there, and it's called veal. And people admire killing a calf for the sake of a dinner. You have to see what we are. We are animals. We're just high on the food chain when it comes to being on land. But you put us in the ocean, and that's another story altogether. The sharks, the whole thing. You know, it's just unfair. I've heard this all my career. You have to understand, it's been 50 years of my work listening to this garbage. We succumb too easily to instinct. We make it a social premise. We make it a social celebration. We make it a pillar of society. And then we call it good. We call it natural. We call it God's will. We call it whatever we want to rationalize our own evil. And we totally miss the whole spiritual end of it. But we don't care about that, because all we care about is staying alive and having people around us who are thinking in the same way. I'm not against relationships. Not at all. I'm against the whole idea of seeing them as the purpose of life. If you have a relationship with someone, you have to look at what is it based in? What kind of mutuality? A man finds a woman finds a man. They seduce each other. They get together. They agree that the security of their life and fulfilling their emotional nature is more important than anything else on the planet. So they come together out of instinct and impulse. They have sex. They make babies. They come to an agreement about their relationship at the end or in the middle of the relationship. After they have the babies and everything, they're looking at each other after the chemicals have diminished in them, have reduced themselves in them, and they look at each other and go, "Who the hell are you?" And of course, the woman will say, "You're not the man I married." And he will look at her and say, "You're not the woman I wanted." All of this rigmarole, this mishigosh, all of this going on and on and on and on. It's sad what we do with life. You give it to the animal, the human being, and you reduce it down to instinct. That's why there's wars. Because we insist upon love being a matter of instinct. We insist upon the idea that instinct to survive is everything in this world. And that's just the way we are. Hana, I'm not against relationships. I'm really not. But I am against using them as a way to make my life seem meaningful. A true, authentic relationship has nothing to do with the bowels of a person's body and all of the things that emulate from that, from emotionality, from convenience. If you want a real relationship, you must build it first from within yourself. What is the premise of your relationship? What is it you're looking for? What is the authenticity of you? Are you just scavenging around, rummaging around men to try to find the man that you think would most offer to you a good lifestyle, a better lifestyle than the one you might have with Bob or Fred or Ted or whatever? Is that what it's all about? Just picking, well, he works here and he earns this much and he earns, and his family is, and like you're breeding a thoroughbred like a racehorse or something. What the hell are you doing? I don't call that a relationship. All couple relationships begin first with the relationship we're having with ourselves. And then we go from there. And if you're having a relationship born out of the deceit of the animal, living from the chemicals that live within your body and brain that emulate just DNA, just survival of the fittest, then you're not an authentic person and you're not having an authentic relationship. True relationships are born and based in love, not in desire, not in impulse, not from chemicals. All right, Hannah, I did it. I've had her email for, oh my gosh, 6 months or so. So I hope that that didn't insult you too much. Please forgive me. Namaste. I could go on and on with Hannah, but I got to get to some. The next one comes from Kinda in, Texas. She says, what is love if not about marriage and family? If you keep it in that, you just keep it in its instinctual origins, you will miss how beautiful a relationship can be when you are merging energies, loving, kind, compassionate energies. But people don't cultivate that. Women cultivate sexuality. They walk around here in Monterey. I see it all the time in their little active wear, their little yoga clothes, they like to call it, where you see every inch of their body as though they're running around here naked. They might as well be naked. Their boobs are sticking out of their very tight tops, and you can see the bull on the nickel on everything when they're walking around in these tights. And what is that all about, really? Well, I'm just being comfortable. No, you're not. You don't even know what you're doing. You're luring people. You're luring men. You want the admiration of women and the power of drawing a man to you. And then you think, based on the curves of your body, that you could possibly draw to yourself a rich man. A man who is going to give you an above average lifestyle. And that's what it's all about. Working real hard to have an above average lifestyle. You can't call that love. You can't call that authenticity. You call that just being the animal. It's about instinct. So you want different kinds of men who you could pick and choose to sniff around you and decide whether or not they are fit for your body. And even when you have sex with them, what men don't know is you're really having sex with them as a form of auditioning and thinking to yourself, well, he would make not only a good pastime, he looks good to look at, but he also will provide money for me and a lifestyle that I want. I can't tell you how many women say this to me in the counseling room. I mean, this is just not me conjuring all of this up. This is me sitting in 50 years of counseling, listening to both men and women together and women alone and men alone and what they say behind each other's backs. When the husband is gone and they're having difficulty in their mid-40s or early 50s, they'll be very, well, he isn't a man. Why did you marry him? Well, he looked like a man that could provide for a good home. That's it. That's it. It's all about production. It's all about money. It's all about the lifestyle where a woman wouldn't have to work. And then the pride of thinking that the offspring of that marriage is so very special. They don't see the reality of the given situation, that they're going to be poured into society and no one's going to think of them as special. Some people are going to think of them as a pain in the neck. Some people are going to like them if they can find a mutuality. And that mutuality is based on what Buddha said, women working iniquity, men living in stupidity, in instinct. The whole problem is instinct. We're past the whole thing of making babies for the sake of populating the earth. We used to make children to help us on the farm, to help us live a life, you know, work on the farm. That's what it was all about, survival. We're past that. Now every child becomes a burden to itself. So where's the love in that? So we celebrate this whole thing called Valentine's Day. We try to make it romantic. We paint it with all of the brushes and paints and ink that we can to make it look like it's some kind of wonderful thing that it's not. We stay together out of a mutuality. And generally, that mutuality is emotional, psychological, physiological. It isn't love. It has to do with our emotionality, physicality. It has to do with our body. It has to do with survival. It has nothing at all to do with divine love. If it is divine love, there would be so many different things, elements in the relationship that wouldn't look like a human relationship. All human relationships are destined to wear out, fall apart, and die. And you can try to keep them together with sentimentality and memories and all of that, and try to stay with a person out of the need that you just don't want to be alone. That's not love. So, Kenda, I'm all for loving people, but not out of my desperate need for DNA and the exposure of making a kid that is a Greg Penn kid. I never did that. I never made children for that reason. I don't think the world needs another Greg. And I don't think that it would be in the most loving interest to make children for the sake of my pride and my ego, my neediness, because I can't face life alone. So would you, at this Valentine's Day, look at your lover and say, I need you because I don't want to be alone. I need you because I need your sperm to make a baby so I have something to take care of me after I kill you by wearing you out. The man looking at her saying, I need you because I've got man disease and I can't be alone with myself. And I need the pride of thinking that you're my wife, my wife. What a terrible thing to say, you're my wife. And that you're going to take care of the children and I'll go out to make all the money that we need to, whatever. And then somehow we'll have grandchildren and we'll have all these bodies that are related to each other's bodies. And that's as far as we'll go. We'll never explore anything beyond that. I will work myself to death. Men do not live as long, generally speaking, as women do, and I wonder why. And that's going to be the way it is. You and the kids are going to be my pride and joy. There will be no inner accomplishment. There'll be no inner awakening. There won't be anything worth living for, a life worth living. It'll all be about what I can do for you and the kids, and I will sacrifice my whole life to explore the depths of what lives within me for the sake of biology. And that's as far as we go. So, Kenda, there you are, and I'm not even going to get to the last question, which is kind of sad. But there you are. This is the way we live. This is the way we've chosen to live. And I know it all sounds pretty negative to a lot of you, but it is the fact of life. And the facts of life are never what we think they are. Let love live you, not human love. The antidote to all of this is let love, authentic love, live you. I'm out of here. If you ever want to hear me again, I'll be back on the air next week. Please forgive me. Namaste. Happy Valentine's Day.